The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The voice of the people. News Talk 710, KNUS, Denver. He doesn't care. He doesn't have to. Because there's no one else like him. It's Peter Boyles on News Talk 710, KNUS.
Made it to a Friday morning, everyone. Good morning with full lines and a great guest. It is 6 a.m. Friday morning, September the 18th, 2020. Good old 710, KNUS, the voice of the people, Denver's talk station. Last night, Stefan's film went down at 7 o'clock, and it just got overwhelmed. I don't understand how all of that works, but I couldn't get in to see it, and Billy couldn't get in to see it, and Jeff Hildebrand could not get in to see it. And now we're getting texts from people after 8 o'clock, after 8:30, they could see it. Well, Stefan's coming on the radio show this morning at 7 o'clock. I think it speaks volumes that they were overwhelmed with people wanting to see it. David Horowitz about the NFL and the ratings. Without further ado, talk about having a friend. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. 710 KNUS, the morning show, former principal of Columbine High School, and just has become just a great friend. Frank DeAngelis, principal, good morning. Thanks for doing the radio show, and welcome home.
Hey, how you doing, Peter?
You know, good. It's Friday, and I think we had a great week, and we're in the channel. You and I saw you a week ago Tuesday night, and Frank, of course, coached baseball, was a good baseball player, coached baseball. And I always call him coach. That's the first time I think I've ever said principal, but coach. What do you make of all of this CHASA stuff? How does CHASA work and how they flipped a decision? And you're the first one to tell me about senior tapes. So speak to the audience about all of this, if you would, sir.
Sure. I think what happens is the reason that they switched originally when the pandemic occurred, CHASA got involved, and that's an agency that's not a government agency. So they got involved and were concerned about what they considered high-contact sports. And basically what you have is you have normally three seasons. You have the fall season, winter season, and then the spring season. And during the fall season, you have football, boys soccer, softball, tennis, boys tennis, cross-country, and volleyball. And field hockey in some schools. Well, they made the decision that they were going to go to four seasons and only allow three sports that they considered non-contact sports, boys tennis, cross country, and girls softball. But as time went on, there were 37 states around the country who felt that they were going to allow their kids to play football and some of the other sports. And so therefore, and then three others followed, and so CHASA did revisit it. And then I think the governor did receive, you know, some pressure to, why are these other states allowed to participate and our kids are missing out on the opportunity to participate? And so there were some meetings with CHASA. Now, one of the issues originally was by the governor's health department or whatever program he had that was monitoring this. Originally, they said that for football, they could only have a total of 50 people. Well, that would be, or 25 per team. Well, there was no way football can go on. But then the governor did continue to meet with CHASA, and they came up with a resolution and to continue and actually have the season take place. Now, the important thing, and I think why parents were concerned, was the fact that a lot of these schools that were allowing football to take place, they had an opportunity to play games, and there were colleges that were recruiting them. Well, Colorado kids would not necessarily have that opportunity. And the national signing date is usually in early November. And I think what is happening now is the colleges, because of everything that has transpired as a result of the pandemic, is going to extend that. But many of the parents felt that their students or student-athletes were missing the opportunity to get scholarships. And so I think that had something to play into it. And then also, there's a situation that a lot of these kids, they will graduate a semester. And so they'll actually start college beginning in January or second semester at some of these colleges. And some of these are student athletes. And therefore, if they would have continued with the program that they had, which would have been season C, which was football, that would start in February and March, therefore, there would be some teams that would lose some of their top athletes to go play college ball.
Wow.
And so I think that was the reason that they made the decision to move it.
Frank DeAngelis is with us. I think politics played an important role in this. I observed when they did, I was calling it, you know, Colorado's new odd couple, and I don't want to pull you into this, but when Brittany Bolin comes out with the governor and they make this pronouncement about the Denver Broncos, which is, wow. And he makes the remark about high school football or playing football, and everybody gets excited. Chassa, this is why I'm asking about Chassa, because Chassa is not, I mean, how do you get on the board of Chassa, where there's 15 people? And the other morning with Dave Logan had one of the Chassa guys on. He took him apart. And then Dave said on the show that Chassa apparently doesn't ask anybody. They just make the decision autocratically. And that they didn't ask coaches at big high schools. I don't know if they asked Columbine or not. It's none of my business. But they make this decision, and they're so they make a decision. And I, again, because I know you know this man, I think you're in Bible study with John Bandemir, but then they allow all of this, but they still sue the Bandemirs. So high school football is going to play. The Broncos do whatever you want to do with that, but not the Bandemirs. And so I say this is incredibly political. And Billy Thorpe asked, he said, what about debate team? And what about, you know, kids that aren't playing athletics, but they're real smart and want to do things? I don't know how to answer that either. But I do think that one thing we know about Polis, and I don't want to pull you into this, Frank, because that's not fair, but when they feel the heat, you know, they make the change.
Well, and Peter, I think you're correct in the sense, and I think what they're using is 40 other states are allowing it, and Billy raises a great question. And I know when I was talking to people that were part of Chassa that were on that committee, and athletic directors were asking my input, not only from a principal standpoint, but from a coach's standpoint, because prior to becoming principal, I was an assistant football and head baseball coach, and I was trying to wear both hats. And I think what ended up happening, and that was the first question I asked, I said, well, what happens if all of a sudden we allow football? I can see the parents coming forth, the marching band parents.
Now, you told me that. Now, you told me that, yeah.
How come, you know, how come they can play football, but my kid can't be in the marching band? And then you have soccer, and then you have volleyball, but it even gets more complex because some of these sports, such as soccer, boys soccer at this point, volleyball, now these club teams come in. And so once they saw that the seasons were going to be moved to later in the year, in January and February, they came in, and all of a sudden, they started their club season. So many of these high school athletes who would be playing on their school teams now join their club team, you know, and that created another issue. And so you had those problems. And then there were, and I really do believe that when the other states went about it, that's what happened. And I think the next big issue, and you kind of touched upon it with John Bandemir, who's just a fantastic person, and I think you touched upon it, is what I haven't heard yet, and I have been in contact with the principal from Columbine and some other principals, is how many people are they going to allow into the stadium? And I think that is key. And the interesting thing is each jurisdiction is a little bit different. Like, for example, most of the schools in Jefferson County are under JEFCO Health Department. And it was interesting, Columbine and all the other JEFCO schools postponed their graduations. And I think Columbine was the first one. It was on August 4th. But it limited the number of people that could be in the stadium. And so each family was given two tickets for their child. So, for example, Columbine had 400 graduates. They were allowed 800 tickets. Well, it'll be interesting to see what the health department states for how many people they'll allow into the stadium in the major stadium where Columbine or Jefferson County Schools plays, the Jeffco Stadium, and it seats about 10,000. So I think principals are waiting to see how many people can actually be there, because I can see an issue if all of a sudden they're only going to allow a certain amount of people and some parents can't go to the game. So I think that'll be the next issue. And then one other thing, as far as CHASA, it's comprised of people around the state, Western Slope, Eastern Slope, and basically you'll have a representative that he or she will represent three or four districts. And what they're supposed to do is get input from the various people. Now, I know in Jefferson County, the athletic director for Jefferson County, Jim Thiefall, did meet with all the athletic directors and others and get input from principals to decide whether or not to move forward. And that's when they casted their vote. Then whoever represented Jefferson County casted the vote with CHASA.
It was announced yesterday the head of the Jefferson County Public Health is retiring. He's getting out. If this is such an intense battle, doctor, why are you quitting now in the middle of what we need you for? Because same thing. I mean, it's the same thing why Polis changes his mind. But the other part of this, Frank DeAngelis is with us, friends of mine who coach and work in Denver schools. Apparently, Denver schools, I think, aren't going to play football. And what about the inner city kid that has to send that senior tape or get that help? Joe Williams was on the radio show with us yesterday. Joe was talking about it. Do you take away their hope or a chance for that kid to go off to even a small school? I mean, without – and explain senior tapes again.
Right. And what happened, and I think one of the issues that really is compounding this, is when this pandemic broke out and they basically went to remote learning and no contact with students and players, each district had different rules. For example, Cherry Creek fell, and I think Cherry Creek may be under Arapahoe County, while Jefferson County, the Jeffco rules were much, much more stringent. Douglas County, same thing. Well, for example, in some of these areas, the coaches were able to meet with their players to do, you know, go to the park and do 7-on-7 in football or do other football activities. But I know in Jefferson County, for Jefferson County School District, the coaches could not meet with their students at the park. They could not do weightlifting. They had certain restrictions. So, there wasn't so-called level playing field. Well, Denver was one of those places that did not allow it, and they were planning on, you know, participating in February. Now, the last thing I heard is CHASA is still going to allow that fee season. So Denver and some of these other school districts have decided not to play in the fall season. Will have an opportunity to play football in the spring. But you are bringing up a good point for some of these athletes that basically what happens a lot of times, coaches have tapes of games, and they can send those tapes away to certain colleges to promote their kids. Mm-hmm. Now, this is not necessarily an issue for your top athletes, because most of your top athletes, Columbine High School had an athlete last year that was being recruited from the time he was in eighth grade.
Yeah.
And so people knew about him, or they would know about certain girls. They start recruiting these kids from the time they're in, you know, seventh, eighth grade. But for some of these kids that are marginal, whether or not they're going to play college ball, those are the ones that it could cost because they need to prove themselves their season, senior season.
That's what, you know, Joe Williams talked about. He said they're blue chips. And, you know, I have a friend of mine who is this rabid college fan. And he talked about, especially Southern schools, Clemson and others, they know these kids when they're 8 years old and they establish this. And, you know, it's like they bring them up and they do it right. But long story short, and I used this analysis, Frank DeAngelis is here. We're going to talk about MC1 in a second. But when the Soviets invaded Afghanistan and Jimmy Carter decides two things. One, the grain deal with the Russians or the Soviets is over. And all the young American athletes who are training to go to the Olympics, he stopped it. It didn't mean losing the grain meant something to Brezhnev and the Soviets. But by and large, the Olympic thing, all Jimmy Carter did was wreck these kids who trained all their lives to be swimmers or whatever they were going to do. And Jimmy Carter stopped U.S. participation in the Olympics that year. Didn't mean squat to the Soviets. So he destroys the careers of these young men and women. I see the same thing taking place here. Paulus now, again, I don't want to pull you into this, but now we're going to play football after 40 other states are playing football. I'm stuck with this. And then the kids in the Denver schools who, as you point out and Joe pointed out, you used the word marginal. I think that's a good word. They're good, but are they good enough to go to, Notre Dame? No. But are they good enough to go to a small school? Yeah. But if a guy like Dave Logan can't send the tape, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. But
Denver's had some fantastic athletes that played professionally. And, I mean, you look at Philip Lindsay with the Broncos.
Absolutely.
Attended South, and he ended up, getting recruited by CU. These are the athletes. They're going to get scholarships. But it's some of those that this season would make the difference on whether or not they're going to get a college scholarship to continue their education and playing career. And I think not only are we seeing this at the high school level, but I'm hearing now many of these college conferences are looking to bring football back to Pac-12. And
they want it.
In voting or not, you hit the nail on the head. Some of these proficient SEC that, with Clemson, the ACC, and some of these powered Texas schools were money. I mean, the amount of money that they're losing, and this is not an issue for high school, but college, and I'm sure Joe Williams and some of the others talked about the amount of money that these schools are losing by not having football.
I don't know. All right, let us, if we could. Frank DeAngelis is with us. Switch over to a week from Sunday, the MC1 Honor Run, and what this means to everyone. And Frank has been so terrific in Emily's Parade and Aftermath, the MC1. And I was telling folks about the meeting the other day. You and I were sitting next to each other, and Tracy Miller talked about one of the Jeffco guys who had been horribly injured, and his wife was going to have a baby in the guy's tap, and how the MC1 Foundation was going to help him with the new baby. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that's – and especially now, I mean, cops are taking such a beating. Coach, speak to that, if you would, please.
Well, one of the things, I think it's so important for these police officers to just have support. And with this being the seventh annual, it started with, Dave Baldwin, who was a dear friend of both of ours, who we met through Emily's Parade, and he used to be a frequent visitor to Columbine High School when I was principal. And unfortunately, he lost his life on the line of duty. He was on Highway 93, and a driver crossed over and unfortunately killed Dave. And it was at that point that you and I got together, and we made this phone call and said, what can we do to help? And at the time, the sheriff was Sheriff Ted Mink. So we reached out to Ted, and I knew Ted, and he said, we would really appreciate it, but I'm going to turn you over to Jeff Schrader. Yeah. And Jeff got us involved in the first year. We did it in memory of Dave Baldwin, and his wife Crystal was there. And then from that point on, and I don't know if we didn't make a mistake, but we said this is the first annual, which means, if it's an annual, we're going to do it every year. Yeah. And so it worked out. And every year, it is so neat to see these officers. We honor them, and I think this year is going to be especially special because of everything that's going on, and to just thank them for everything. And, as principal of Columbine High School, I am so indebted to the police force for everything they did for us on that horrific day, but continue to do. And it's really a great way to honor them and then also help out some of these officers that were injured in the line of duty.
If you have a motorcycle and you want to ride with us, don't care, and it's $35 a bike, $10 if you bring a passenger. It's Columbine High School next Sunday, a week from this Sunday. Gates open, as they say, at 8 a.m. They're urging people to register online. You can go to www.mc1foundation.com or you go to our website, 710KNUS/Peter Boyles. The time is now. Support these guys. Also, firefighters are under this umbrella. EMS people are under this umbrella. And without this man, none of it would have been happening. I think it was the first or second time when we really became friends with Jeff. I think we said, you and I would be long gone, but tragically they'll still be doing this run if all works out. They'll be the 23rd and 24th because these guys always, something always happens to these men and women of law enforcement. And look at it, the attempted assassination of those guys in California. My God, Frank, it's crazy. So Anyhow, and this year it's going to end in the summit in Thornton. However, they're going to have food trucks and we can inside baseball. Their fear is that somebody in the media is going to come out and go after them because they're not wearing masks. And I said, well, given how the media works, it's not impossible. You know, cops are bad and they're not wearing masks. I don't know, but everybody's welcome. Yeah.
And we're going to follow the guidelines as we've been told to do. And, you know, we don't want to jeopardize any of this. But what a worthy cause.
Oh.
And the other thing that is, I think, heartwarming is just some of the officers who we've helped in the past, you know, with John Asik. We talk about the police doing things. John Asik actually almost lost his life protecting the students at Denver East. Amazingly, there was a protest at Denver East, and he was out there to protect the kids, and there was a vehicle that hit him. He almost lost his life. And then, you know, Tony Lopez, who was shot at over on North Federal, an area that we both know extremely well, and all these officers. And then last year, I think it was the officers from Douglas County that were ambushed on New Year's Eve Day, and then I think also a officer from Colorado Springs. So it just goes on and on to help these, and it's good. Now that, you know, in addition to the, as you stated, the police officers and the paramedics and firefighters, because it's a team, and they're all there to save lives, and they have saved lives, and we're here to honor them. And Peter, it wouldn't happen without you, because you are the voice of the people.
I just want to go for a motorcycle ride. I'll talk to you over the weekend. I'll tell you guys, for real, he's the best. Frank DeAngelis. And it's a week from this coming Sunday, and everything's up on the internet, but we'll push it a lot. I think we've got Crystal on first part of the week, and Jeff and everybody. And it is such an amazing morning when this happens, and then it goes from there. I love you, Coach. I'll talk to you over the weekend. Thank you.
And we got our meeting the 23rd, whatever day that is, next week, and I'll see you in person and talk to you this week. Love you.
Thank you, sir. All right. We go back to open lines. We have one line open, 303-696-1971. Last night's overnights, the Cleveland Browns, your Bengals game, down 45% in the numbers from a year ago. What does the Fox News outlet people do to Newt Gingrich when he brings up George Soros? Stefan's film got overwhelmed, and I didn't get a chance to see it. I couldn't get in to see it, but people now are seeing it. And it is that moment. NBA numbers are down. They're looking at now these playoff numbers, and they're way down significantly. So, 303-696-1971 truly is an art to putting together the perfect kitchen or bathroom remodel. If you want the best countertops, wholesale pricing, contact Mitch Flory, the Art of Granite. Mitch is the expert and a craftsman. We talk about him. He's born in Romania, grows up under Ceausescu. You want to talk about commie land. And this guy's like this expert craftsman. What a life story. Takes granite, takes quartz, takes marble, other materials, and true works of art. And you can get this virtual consultation with Mitch if you wish. The website is artofgranite.com, but talk to him on the phone. And mention 710KNUS, get a bathroom countertop free, purchase of your fantastic new kitchen countertops, get kitchen or bathroom sinks free with purchase of countertop packages. I just want to talk to a guy. Hey, Mitch, tell me about when you were a kid. And he's this country that he came from, he said, man, we're doing it. 303-386-5919. 303-386-5919. I bet if you ask Nancy Pelosi, who's worse, Ceausescu or Donald Trump, she'd say Donald Trump. 303-386-5919. You give him a call today. Back with your calls.
Back to the Peter Boyle Show.
Better believe it. Lines are jammed on a Friday morning, the 18th of September, 2020. Stefan's coming on the show here in about a half an hour. They got overwhelmed. Billy Thorpe was talking about it. David Horowitz will talk about the NFL ratings, and then Councilman Dave Gruber from Aurora, and they made some arrests last night. The overnight suggests the league was down 45% from last year at this time. We're talking about, should we play that again, Billy, because a lot of people may not be on to what happened. Newt Gingrich is on TV, and he's on, of all places, Fox, which is really maddening to these people, and Fox News cuts him off when he brings up the billionaire financier. Someone said he's really Blofeld. George Soros and funding of all these left-wing prosecutors. So without further ado, and they made this half-rear-ended apology. Bill, if you would.
Speaker Gingrich, I know you have a final thought for us.
Yeah, look, the number one problem in almost all these cities is George Soros elected, left-wing, anti-police, pro-criminal district attorneys who refuse to keep people locked up. Just yesterday, they put somebody back on the street who's wanted for two different murders in New York City. You cannot solve this problem. And both Harris and Biden have talked very proudly about what they call progressive district attorneys. Progressive district attorneys are anti-police, pro-criminal, and overwhelmingly elected with George Soros' money. And they're a major cause of the violence we're seeing because they keep putting the violent criminals back on the street.
I'm not sure we need to bring George Soros into this.
I was going to say you'd get the last word, Speaker.
He paid for it. I mean, why can't we discuss the fact that millions of dollars he spent?
I agree with Melissa. George Soros doesn't need to be a part of this conversation.
Okay. So it's verboten.
All right. We're going to.
And the beat goes on. 710 KNUS. Good morning, everyone. Let's go to the phones. Line one, Billy is Earl. We go to Earl on one. Hey, Earl, on your radio show. Good morning.
Good morning, Pete. Talking about Soros, I just wondered why no one has brought up the fact that the Jefferson County District Attorney's Office, Peter Weir, received over $100,000 for his last campaign from the Soros organization.
Which organization?
It was the one you mentioned earlier.
There's a lot of it's Open Society Foundation, but there's a lot of
Open Society. Yeah,
yeah. There's a lot of
over $100,000. $100,000 is a lot in the Denver area DA's race. That's a tremendous amount of money.
Like I said, I'll take you at your word, but I'd have to see that. I know that they were unbelievably involved in heroin injection. That's the kind of stuff that they do, but. Newt, what do you think of, and come back to it, I'll look at what you're saying, but what do you think of what Fox did to Gingrich for even bringing him up?
Well, I thought the telling point was when he said, why not? He gave him it, and she said, no, he didn't.
He did. I mean, he did.
Well, just like he gave $100,000 here, and it was on the map that Gingrich had in the background of the district attorney's offices who received contributions from Soros. There was a million to the Portland DA, a million to the San Diego DA, and $100,000 to the Jefferson County DA. And that same Jefferson County DA, Pete Weir, just recently gave a plea bargain to four kids in Jefferson, in Arvada, who chlorine gassed an officer at a traffic ambush.
And it may, 60
days.
Yeah, may explain.
Days for attempted murder and committing a war crime. Yeah. 60 days.
I will triple check all of that. I wrote it down.
It's on the DA's own website that the sentences that he gave to four kids permanently injured an officer of the Arvada Police Department. The guy has lung and heart issues that are probably permanent because he was gassed by four teenagers at a traffic ambush. Look on the DA's website.
I will.
Right there.
I will. And it was he? What cop? What district did he? Was he an officer in?
He was in the city of Arvada Police.
He was an Arvada cop. Okay, I'll look.
Arvada cop. Right on the DA's website. Yeah. Look at it. Not even a question.
A Jefferson County.
A question of him receiving the DA receiving $100,000. From Soros, not even a question.
I will check it.
I'll stand by it. I'll put my professional reputation. I'm an attorney who's talked to you before.
I'm not saying you're wrong. Believe me, because the announcement came yesterday that doctor that led the charge against Bandemir has announced his retirement, Dr. Johnson. And I thought we really needed him right now because we're in a pandemic. Why is he getting out? He's getting out.
He's a fraud. That's why.
Well, they're saying getting out while the getting's good, right?
Absolutely.
That's a personal belief. I don't discount you. I will look at it. I don't doubt any of it because Soros has deep roots now here in Colorado. He was the financial force behind heroin injection.
Absolutely. I know
that's for real. So I appreciate it. Good info, man. Thank you. Billy, where do we go next?
You bet.
Johnny on two. John, you're on a radio show. It's a Friday morning. Good morning.
I'm beginning to think that Fox News is they're not journalists, they're activists.
Well, You know, Trump has been speaking about what's happened to them. Paul Ryan has joined the boys have taken over. But That was uncalled for, how they treated Gingrich. And the question is why. They've made this half-rendered apology, but why did they do that to him in the first place?
They also, I heard an earlier interview with Trump's son and the Fox News, and they said, well, Joe was leading by 54%, and your dad is leading by 46%. Yeah, and the son had to say, wait a minute, you guys have been not...
Well, let me read you. This is their written. This is their apology.
Okay.
And I'll read it to you. So we had a little incident on the WHO yesterday that was not smooth. And while I was leading the segment, we had an eruption, and I sat silently while all of that played out. Also not ideal. Our guest, former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, who is beloved, needed to be allowed to speak with openness and with respect that the show is all about. But we interrupted. Do we debate with fire here? Yes, but we must also give each other space to express ourselves. As the only original member of the six-year-old Amazing Daytime Ride, known as Outnumbered, I especially want to rock and roll with every voice and perspective in the table. We don't censor at this show, and that's why we're winning weekdays at noon. That's crap. That's their apology.
They're not winning nothing.
Well, that's
not winning nothing.
But that's their apology?
And if they wanted to disagree, I mean, why didn't they go back? Look at the
Bring
information,
them back.
Which I know that Newt Gingrich has the paperwork to say this is what's happening.
Sure.
Now,
he's
fight
right.
this information.
Yeah. But listen to that apology.
That was nothing.
Yeah. I mean, he spoke the truth. They embarrassed him. They shamed him. And they shut him down. And the subtext of this is from the left that he's an anti-Semite because Soros is a Jew. Come on. I'm not making it up.
The reason this one touched me so much,
sure.
30 years ago, I was in a conversation with, this lady, she was leading it, and this guy had some kind of spiritual evolution, and he wanted to talk about it, and she shut him down. And I thought about that, and I could have came to his defense because I agree with him, but the way she shut him down, it reminded me of that conversation right there.
Right. Well, listen, listen to what they said. It is amazing. That's an apology?
No. They didn't do more. He needs to come on, point out his sources, and say, what are your sources to deny this?
I'll buy you lunch if they bring him back this week or next week. They won't. But again, so this is the apology, and they're calling it the network. Other networks are calling it an apology, which it isn't. There's no apology.
But they're a bunch of liars. All of them are liars.
Of course they are. And this is what they said about what happened with Gingrich. So we had a little incident on the WHO yesterday that was not smooth. This is understating. And while I was leading the segment, we had an eruption, and I sat silently that all that played out. Not ideal. Our guest, former Speaker Newt Gingrich, who is beloved. Do you think they beloved him? Because I don't.
No.
Needed to be allowed to speak with openness and respect. Did we debate with fire here? Yes. But we also give each other the space to express ourselves. I'm the only original member of the six-year-old Amazing Daytime Ride, known as Outnumbered. She's bragging on herself. She's not talking about Gingrich. I especially want to rock and roll with every voice and perspective at the table. Rock and roll. We don't censor on the show, liar. And that's why we're winning weekdays at noon. Maybe they are. Maybe they're not. I haven't seen the numbers. But well, that's crap. It's just total crap. So.
Just have a feeling that Newt Gingrich, I hope he continues pointing out the truth. And these people that are letting these criminals out and people are getting killed and everything, that is the honest truth. And they couldn't address that. They had to shut it down so the general population wouldn't hear, oh, Soros, what does that have? Soros, what does he have to do with this?
Well, he does a lot to do with it. John, thanks. One more, Billy, before the
all
pause.
Right. Actually, I need to jump in here real quickly, only because friend of the show, Dick Wadhams, reached out to me and pointed me down the right path that it was. It is true that it looks like Soros donated over $100,000 to Jake Lilly, who was Pete Weir's opponent. Weir was the Republican in the 2016 race in Jefferson County, the district attorney. Jake Lilly was a Democratic opponent, and there was $100,000 that was confirmed to come from donations by Soros, and then $39,000 more coming from other contributions. Again, thank you to friend of the show, Dick Wadhams, for pushing me down path.
I never heard the story. No,
yeah,
so,
I just wanted to share that. That's a bit of information. And line three is Don.
You made it work. Hey, Don, you're on the show Friday morning. Good morning. Thank you.
All right. I kind of want to continue this. And I heard the stories, but I think on the same night, Tucker Carlson mentioned Soros by name.
Yeah, he did.
Basically, you got to watch Tucker Carlson.
What Carlson said was, he's spending his money. He's getting a return, or words to that effect. He's getting what he's paid for.
Yeah,
yeah.
But if Fox News gets rid of Tucker Carlson, then we can start to panic. Yeah. I mean, Carlson's on there, I'm perfectly fine.
But again, the shows are in segments, and daytime segments and nighttime segments. But Tucker said that Soros wants to watch America burn, and he's getting a return for his money.
Yes, he does.
Right. But that doesn't make it okay for what they did to Gingrich.
I'm not approving of it either. Yeah. But I'm just saying, as long as there's Tucker Carlson, at least you know that it will get out. I agree with you on how Newt Gingrich was treated. I'm all with you on that.
Well, but it's interesting that they did it in the first place, and it wasn't just one, but it was two women that shut him down.
One's probably the Republican establishment, and the other's a Democrat activist.
The point of it is, you know, if it is the news, then tell me it's the news. Don't try and tell me it's like the Kyle Clark stuff. You want to tell me it's this, your opinion? Hey, fine, I'm cool with it.
Cable news has become more commentary-oriented these days, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I am, too. Just tell me. Yep. If you tell me it's a newscast, that's one thing. If you tell me it's your—you know, this is not a news show. This is an opinion show.
Yep, and most of them are. I did also see the Denver and Decay, or most of it. I had to eat dinner in the middle of it, and I say it's a well-done film. So I caught it on YouTube, so I don't know if people were having a hard time getting onto YouTube to watch it there.
Don't know. Stefan's coming up in about 20 minutes. I tried last night.
I tell you that.
Yeah, I tried last night, couldn't get in. Billy couldn't get in, and Jeffy couldn't get in. And that speaks volumes in favor of Stefan. Because you're being overwhelmed, you burned it out. So I'll get a chance to see it today. But he's on at 7. So,
but I got on YouTube, so I don't know if people were shut out on YouTube or other places. Yeah. So that you can talk to Stefan about. But I thought I'd let you know.
Thanks for the time, man. Thanks. 303-696-1971. Stefan coming up. Low mortgage rates mean big buying power, and the rates we're seeing today are incredibly low, meaning it's time to get out of the rental agreement and get into the mortgage. It's that moment. Family-owned lender have been helping renters become homeowners for well over 20 years. They work for you. They work for you. They did this incredible job for me. Introduce you to a down payment assistance program. Create the custom low-rate loans with access to every loan in the industry. They're sure to find the perfect fit for your needs. So stop paying someone else's mortgage and make today the day you call American Financing. Truly, I mean, this month's great. It's Friday, 303-695-7000. Hello, 303-695-7000. American Financing, get me in, and they'll do it. You want to do the refi, you want to buy your own home, whatever your needs are, they're there, and they're terrific. 303-695-7000, AmericanFinancing.net, American Financing, NMLS 182334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate.
This is the Peter Boyles Show.
85 will be the high today. It is hazy, 87 tomorrow, and 80 on Sunday. Motorcycle weekend coming up. 710 KNUS. Last night, from a year ago, down 45%. The Broncos were down, as agreed upon, 38%. I perused the Denver Post and Channel 9 looking for any stories on the drop in the numbers for your Denver Broncos, and it cannot be found. Damn, I wonder why. 303-696-1971. What line did we go, Billy? I'm sorry, again, we go line one. Line one, James, you're on a radio show, man. Good morning, and thanks for calling.
Yeah, good morning, Peter. I'm in that movie, Denver and Decay. When you watch it, I'm the bald-headed guy who's been in recovery for 12 years, and I'm very successful, so it can be done. One other point I wanted to make, it didn't come on till 8 o'clock, but I found it on YouTube.
Yeah.
And it just, I mean, it's on YouTube this morning, so anybody that wants to watch it, it's there.
Stefan sent me a text. He's coming up in a few minutes, but he's got, let me just read it to you. Bink, bink, bink. Come on, Peter. He has over 6,000 views, nearly 6,000 views in less than 9 hours. That's from Stefan this morning.
Yeah, and I tell you, you watch it, and I was really impressed with Stefan's work on this. And I can't see how anybody in the government, the mainstream media, if they watch this, and say that what Hickenlooper and Hancock have done over the last 20 years has worked. They ought to be thrown out of office.
Let me ask you a question.
Fired from their job.
Let me ask you and the audience a question. I looked everywhere for any mention of the ratings decline in the NFL, particularly the Denver Broncos. I can't find it in mainstream press. Next, do you think that Channel 9 or the Denver Post or anybody else legitimately is going to review Stephen's film and everyday media? No.
I think they're going to do it behind the scenes, but they won't say it.
No, they listen.
But I bet they watch it. And one other comment, I got to get to work, is yesterday I'm talking to a couple friends of mine, and we came up with this idea that the only way the NFL could be saved at this point is you fire Roger Goodell and you hire Herschel Walker to take his place, because there is no one out there that would disrespect him. Black or white, he's got the credentials. Mm. He owns a big business. He could do it.
But that's not what a commissioner does. I see he appears on Fox in the mornings now. He's always great to watch, but you know what? That's like, are they going to review Stephen's film? Is Channel 9 going to talk about Stephen's film? No. Will Herschel Walker replace Goodell? No. But a good call, man. Thanks. Thank you. We go to Bill on 2. Bill, you're on a radio show. Good morning.
Good morning to you, sir. I just want to tell you a few things. Do you know what the Georgia Headstones are?
Say that again.
The Georgia Headstones?
Do I know again? I'm sorry. Say it again.
The Georgia Headstones?
The Georgia Headstones?
Yeah, look that up. I got three things to say. George Soros, he has bankrupt multiple countries. Multiple countries. Right. George Soros is bankrupt. And why? And they're going to do it to the United States. They're going to bankrupt. It's already financially. How far in debt? Well, you know we are. He's going to bankrupt the United States of America. That's what he's done to multiple countries, and he's going to do it to us. We can't let that happen.
Have you ever read his life and what happened to the Bank of England? Have you ever read that?
Yes.
Tell me what happened. Tell me what happened to the Bank of England and Soros.
I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's when I don't know what you're – but he shorted the pound, and he made people believe well over $1 billion when he – he left Hungary and he moved to England, and he's a complicated guy. I don't know if countries that he is financially ruined, but he shorted the pound. That's where he makes his first breakthrough. Anytime you see Open Society Foundation, something bad will happen. And he is headed. Listen, I appreciate the call. 303-696-1971. Good morning. So, Stephen's coming up, and we'll talk about what last night and this morning. Then David Horowitz, who wrote extensively about the NFL numbers, and they're down. Now, the second week begins last night, and Browns-Bengals, and you can say it was a bad game. Nobody wanted to watch it, but 45% decline in the Nielsen's from last year. That's significant. Remember, as Frank DeAngelis said, and God, I'd love to see everybody there. It's a week from this Sunday. The 7th Annual MC1 Honor Run, Sunday, the 27th of September, 2020. $35 a bike to come in. If you got a passenger, it's another $10. All the money goes to the MC1. Columbine High School, again, thanks to the principals today and Frank's good work. The gates, as they say, open at 8 o'clock in the morning, and they want as many people as can to register online. They're all this pandemic stuff that they're afraid of, and it's true. And go to info, www.mc1foundation, or go to 710KNUS, our website, Peter Boyles, and it's there as well. The time is now. Supporting the Colorado police and fire and EMS guys who've been men and women injured on the job. And as Frank said, you know, all the people that we have been involved in fundraising for. And I go back to that really, it was a really stirring moment. It was in the meeting last Tuesday night. We're in the sheriff's, not in the sheriff's office, we're outside the Taj Mahal. And they brought up this guy who'd been injured on the job, hurt, you know, helping you. And his wife's about to have a baby and all the stuff that goes with that. And the MC1 steps in. You know, it's, and then it all ends up in this new place called the Summit in Thornton. and the beat goes on. But if you ride, you know, it's going to be a beautiful morning. We'll make it happen. It was really weird. It was like in all the Emily's parades, we never had a knock on wood or knock on the top of your head, Peter. We never had a bad day. We always had great days to ride in the mountains, and the leaves had turned, and it was really amazing. And then the MC1 started. We had one day where there was some rain, a little bit of rain. But going back full circle to the Bandimeres, the MC1, because the Emily's Parade guys controlled fall. I mean, fall was the date that we chose because she was murdered then. And again, it's her dad, John Michael Keyes, and the mom and everybody. But it was Emily's Parade. We always had this wonderful weather, fall weather. And so we ended up doing like late spring, early summer for the initial MC1. And now, of course, that the Keys have said the parade is over for Emily now that we have that same date for the MC1. And anyhow, so who turns up and says, yeah, sure, John Vandermeer. John Vandermeer. And if you look at what I'm telling you, I talk about the Lord of the Rings. If you look at the politics of Jared Polis and how the media operates, Broncos are playing, yeah, high school football, yeah, Vandermeer, no. So I saw yesterday that Dr. Johnson, the tip of the spear to attack John Vandermeer, is retiring. Doctor, we need you now, now more than ever. I mean, hell's bells, man. I mean, we have this pandemic. Grandmas are dying everywhere. Where are you? Is this dereliction of duty? Dr. Johnson, you're going to boogie out of here? No, it's good to go, man. Remember, when it's time to go. And I'm seeing Dr. Johnson announcing his retirement. Ain't it high time you went? But it really gets back to all these other things, but they're still suing the Bandermeers. They're still going after John and his family. And if you can't see that, I got a bridge for you in Brooklyn. But it's like watching these people do the job on Gingrich. Why? Because Gingrich, you can't let that voice get out there. You can't expose these people. I've come to pretty much this moment. You go, man, you got to ask yourself, shut the front door. What are we watching happen? We'll do a quick turnaround here, and we'll come back with Stefan. And then David Horowitz. Horowitz did and also Dave Gruber, Aurora City Councilman. They have arrested these people and charged them and these rioters, and it makes me happy. Horowitz writes extensively about the NFL ratings, and we can do whatever we want to do, but they're down. And when you're down that much, you got to ask a question. I mentioned to Hildebrand, we're talking, if you're running a radio gig and they look year to year, month to month in the numbers, and if our morning show was down 45% from a year ago, we'd be in somebody's office. Ain't it high time you went? They were a crash, but this is only the first weekend. The people that I read say, wait till the fourth weekend. That's the make break. We'll see. And they're talking about if things continue like this, the owners collectively will lose $6.5 billion. We can only hope. We come back with one and only the man with a plan, the Cecil B. DeMille of the talk radio scene, Stephen Tubbs.
There are three ways to...